Me? I'm coming up here now. I don't go down the thing, it's crazy.
Good morning.
Morning.
Let's go in the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for letting everybody be here together. Lord, touch our hearts. You know, let us have your spirit come in and go and guide us and be a witness to all those that are lost and stuff that we can outreach. Do your work that you're willing to go through us, Lord. And let you have the glory and the praise. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, Crestview family. Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for choosing to come worship with us today. We're glad to have you with us. If you're a guest or visitor for the first time, we'd love to get to know you a little better. There are some cards you can drop in the offering plate just so we can get to know you. Just a few announcements to get us going. Today, we're still having a picnic at the creek tonight. Is that, as far as I know, 6 o'clock, picnic at the creek. I know there's some people going on vacation and things like that, but if you can come, come on out. That's at 6 o'clock tonight. A couple things regarding this week. Tomorrow at about 2 o'clock, some of us are heading out to go to South Mountain Baptist Camp with the kids and just be in prayer for them. And with all that being said, because I'm going to be gone, and most of the majority of the people that come on Wednesday night are not going to be gone. We will not have any kids or youth services down in the building on Wednesday night because I won't be here, obviously. So I think I've reached out to everybody, but if you're sitting here and I haven't reached out to you about it, now you know. So, and then when we come back from camp, July 26th from 11 to 1, we are having a VBS kickoff, Wrestling for Christ is coming in. Let me look real quick because I forgot to look at this guy's name. There's a speaker coming to share the gospel. His name is Chris Page. He's a pastor out of Georgia. He'll be sharing the gospel with us that day. They have different people who come and share the gospel at their events. Some of the Wrestling for Christ people will not be here. They're still in the Philippines, but they do have a team coming in and are going to be preparing us for Bible school. And then Bible school starts Sunday evening, 6 to 8:30. Supper will be included nightly. The way that's going to work is we're going to do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are going to be regular nights of Bible school. Wednesday night's going to be our commencement service. So that will take place of our Wednesday night prayer meeting and things like that. It'll be a time to for the kids who came and for anybody. You don't have to have came to Bible school. If you guys come to prayer service and you're like, well, I got nothing to do tonight. Well, come on out. Join us. You get to see what the kids have been learning this week as we dive into God's Word. And see some of the songs that they've learned and just hear all about their week. And so that is next Wednesday. I'm assuming you guys working Thursday night, do you know?
Of course I know, it just depends on the weather.
No, Terry says no. No working here Thursday night. I don't think there are any more announcements I'm missing. If there are, there's things in your bulletin you can read. But this morning, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Don. He's going to open us up in prayer, and we are going to worship together this morning.
Good morning. Just to make sure that you understood, we will be having Bible study this Wednesday, but not the following Wednesday. The youth and children is canceled for this week, but we will have Bible study. The next Wednesday will be the convocation. Also, if you think we need rain, I invite you to come out for our Sunday evening down at the creek, because last time it poured like all the dickens down there. And so if you need rain, maybe this is a chance to come together so we can make it rain again. So, Also, on August 10th, we will be having an ordination service, and we'll give you more information on that as time goes by. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we thank you for who you are and all that you mean to us. We thank you for your presence among us. We thank you for seeing us through difficult times and making joyful times even sweeter. We pray now that you receive all honor and glory from this service. May your name be honored, and may we draw closer to you as you desire to have that personal relationship with us. May we honor you with our lives, with our voices, with our prayers. For all this, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. If you'd like to use your hymnal today to do this first song, that page 379, to follow along with it. And if you would, please stand, and we're going to do the first and the fourth verses, please. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this chance to be in your house and for this offering, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct us, and use this to the uplifting and upbuilding of your kingdom. These things I pray in your name. Amen. Would you join me and stand and join me in singing a song on page 447 by your hymnals? It's a song called Trust and Obey. Sandra picked old classics for me today to be able to try to sing with you guys. So thank you. We'll be doing the first verse and the fourth verse. Thank you.
Let us do. must and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends
you. Please be seated.
Can get any kids to come up here this morning for our children's sermon. You guys are already up here, some of you. Good morning, guys. What have we been talking about? Does anybody remember? For over the past, 8 weeks now, what have we been talking about? Oh, that's on Wednesday. They're getting them mixed up. On Wednesday, we've been talking about the attributes of God. But we've been talking about the names of God on Sunday morning. But that's good, though. It means you were paying attention. No, I didn't think you were. No, I'm just kidding. Today, we are going to look at a scripture here in a minute. But I got a question. Somebody know what a judge is? What does a judge do? What do they do? They tell you what? Tell you if you're guilty or not? Okay, well, the judge takes that verdict, but the judge upholds laws. There are lots of judge shows on TV that are silly, where there's lots of screaming and things, but we're not talking about that today. We're talking about how God is our judge. He is the ultimate judge. He upholds the law of the land. He's the lawgiver. He makes sure everything is upheld. And one day we're going to be standing in front of Him, and He's going to look at us, and He's going to say He knew us or He didn't. And the way He knows us is through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're going to dive into that. We're going to be looking at the name today. In the original language, is Jehovah Sophat, is God our judge. And the scripture we're looking at today, it says, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. It is He who will save us. And this is a scripture from the Old Testament, says that it's He who will save us, but He's already saved us because He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, right? And that was the plan all along. So today, guys, we are going to dive into that a little bit more. But what I want you to get out of all this is God is in complete control. Nothing happens. Nothing goes on without His knowledge. You can't hide things from Him. You can't keep secrets from Him. He gives us the ability to make our own choices. And we can choose if we want to serve, if we want to follow God's rules, or if we want to rebel against God. But God is the judge. So we're going to pray, and we're going to talk more about that when we go to Children's Church here in a few minutes, okay? Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for loving us the way You do. Thank You for being a God who is in complete control, a God who is the ultimate judge, who guides us right and wrong. And thank You, God, for just being who You are. And Lord, thank You for sending Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sins. Because as we're going to talk about, Lord, one sin separates us from You. But through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, Lord, all those sins can be wiped away. All those sins are forgiven if we just ask, Lord. and we get to spend an eternity with you. And we're thankful and grateful for that. Thank you for each one of these guys and girls. And for the ones who are leaving to go to camp tomorrow, Lord, I just pray a special prayer that you watch over us this week, that you guide our hearts, and that you calm us down and slow us down so we can listen to what it is that you have in store for us this week. Keep us safe and watch over us in every step we make. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, have a seat. Have a seat, Truman.
Just about the manger where the baby laid. It's not all about the angels that sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross, it's about my sin, it's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not all about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about His precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you. That's why we celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's Son nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from Him should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. So that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. It's about the cross.
me to sing. Let's go.
I invite you to turn to our scripture. It comes from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, as we start with verse 16 and read through verse 18. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. Excuse me, and reading through verse 18. Together, let's hear the word of the Lord. When you fast, do not look somber, as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces and show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done, is in secret, will reward you. Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer? Lord, we pray you open our hearts and open our lives to your word and speak to our hearts this day to comfort those who need comfort, to challenge those of us that need challenging. But Lord, just guide us, and again, let your face smile upon us. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, here we come to the point where Jesus does the third of the things that create this atmosphere of humility. He first talks about generosity and how to be generous and how not to be generous, how to pray and how not to pray, and today it's focus on fasting. Well, fasting is something that a lot of people don't know a whole lot about, so maybe we should address what is fasting. Fasting is doing without something. Let's be honest, we're much better at feasting than we are at fasting. Fasting means to give something up. Well, it's a variety of reasons why people fast. Some people fast because of health reasons. Some people have had temporary fast for one day, missing a meal so that whatever you would pay for that meal would go toward a certain charity. But there's also religious fasting. Religious fasting is either one of a couple of categories. One category has to do with, it's kind of like an exclamation point on prayer. Think of it like that. Where you're going through some sort of crisis. Maybe it's a crisis that's happening in your family, in your community, and you're praying to God about it, and you want to put that emphasis point on it. So in addition to your prayers, you choose to fast from the time the sun comes up to the sun sets in the evening. This is done either for a crisis, or maybe you're convicted of something and you're asking God's forgiveness. Sometimes fasting is a way we ask God, say, I really want forgiveness. Fasting is also done on certain particular holidays. For example, in Judaism, during Passover, that's when they would fast, and that is remembering their ancestors going through the wilderness experience. Good Friday for many Christians is a time to fast, as we remember Jesus' death on the cross. So fasting can be done for many different reasons. Now, how to fast also varies greatly. For some, a 24-hour period where you do not eat. That sounds very painful. But more common is from sunrise to sunset. This is done in Judaism, it's done in Islam, it's done in Christianity. And in some of those cases, you don't eat or drink anything. Imagine being this kind of weather and not being able to eat, but also not being able to drink anything. And so some fasts include that. So fasting is done differently. Some people during the 40-day period of Lent, they would give up something like, I'm not going to drink any cheer wine during Lent. Or I'm going to give up sundrop. Uh-oh, I started meddling there. Sorry about that. And so you give up something that you usually take on and say, I'm going to set that aside. Why are you doing that? Not to punish yourself, but to be able to say it's a reminder that we rely upon God and that God is the one who gives us the strength to go through what we go through. Feasting represents a time of joy when we get to say thank you to God. Fasting represents a time of mourning, of personal reflection, when we're faced either with something unfortunate that deals with ourselves or with others. And fasting is throughout the Old Testament. Matter of fact, if you look and do a word study, you'll see fasting throughout the Old Testament. Some of those occasions, often where people fasted when they faced some sort of consequences because of sin, either their sin or the sin of the people. David fasted in Psalm 51. It shows that David fasted when he was called out by Nathan for his sin with Bathsheba. And so he repented before God, and fasting is one of the ways in which he expressed that. King Ahab fasted when Elijah told the destruction of his family because of the idolatry, and they worshiped other gods. Or the fasting that took place when Jerusalem fell from the Babylonians. We know that Moses fasted for 40 days and nights in preparation receiving the Torah, or the first five books of the Hebrew Bible or Old Testament. But it's not just individuals who fast. We also see fasting in public venues. The Israelites fasted to seek God's protection as they were getting ready to enter into the promised land and not knowing what they would be faced with when they arrived. The king of Nineveh called for a community-wide fast, and they put on sackcloth and ashes in order to show their repentance before God so that whatever Jonah said would happen would not happen. And so much so that the king, he not only put sackcloth and ashes on all the people, but even the animals themselves. David and his men fasted when they learned that Jonathan and Saul had been killed in battle. So we see these are just a few examples from the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we also see John the Baptist fasted before he beginning his ministry as he proclaimed repentance and baptism for forgiveness of sin. We know that Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness before he began his public ministry, as he then began proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, the Gospels are kind of mixed bag, whereas in the Old Testament, fasting is usually associated with repentance. In the Gospels, fasting kind of gets a mixed blessing. Sometimes it's criticized, and sometimes it's advocated. And beyond the Gospels, we see at least three references to fasting in the book of Acts. Jesus is not criticized for fasting. As a matter of fact, there's one occasion early in the Gospel, early in his ministry, where John's disciples are fasting, but Jesus and his disciples are not fasting. And he's being questioned as to why they're not fasting, to which Jesus replies, well, at the wedding, if you've got the bridegroom, there's no point of fasting. It's a time of feasting, not fasting. But here Jesus takes a not positive view. Not the issue of fasting, but how fasting is being done. Even though there's a long-standing tradition of fasting, both in Old and New Testament, and it's been practiced throughout the history of the church, Jesus does not tell us not to fast. He's not critical of the fact that some people need to put that exclamation point to their prayers, asking God, I really, really need your presence with me. But his issue seems to come with how people fast. Jesus said, whenever you fast, you're not supposed to look like you're fasting. So I'm not supposed to take my glasses off and muss my hair and do this, and I'm fasting. No, we're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to disfigure yourself. Oh, feel so sorry for you, for I'm fasting. After I graduated from college, I spent 3 months as a summer missionary in Turkey. And there in Turkey, I was there during the month of Ramadan. And that's the month where, during the daytime, they fast from sunrise to sunset. Well, we found something that I thought looked good for lunch. And so I purchased it and began eating it. And it looked like a pizza with melted cheese, but I realized it was a half-cooked egg instead of cheese. My tummy did not like me. And so I was kind of ill and sitting in the car, and it was hot because it's the middle of summer. And somebody said chai, which is actually the Chinese word for tea, but half the world knows tea is chai. And so here, all these people sitting outside, and they're all, oh, I'm fasting, I can't eat, and all of that. Well, he gets me out. We go through a couple little back roads, through some alleys and up some steps, and there's a bunch of people drinking tea and playing backgammon. So he knew I needed something, so he took me where I could find something. But it's the idea, why are we fasting? When we want to give an exclamation point, is the exclamation point for God or our audience? This is the same basic thing he said with prayer, the same basic thing he said with generosity. What's the exclamation point for? Is it to say, God, I desperately need you? Or is it to say to the crowd, I desperately need your attention and approval? Because I think that's where Jesus is really going with this. Apparently, people used to disfigure themselves and be able to say, look at me. Oh, I dressed in old clothes. I put dirt on my face. I've got all this showing that I'm fasting. And they became feasting on their fasting because it was a feast for the attention that they were getting. For those who fast in that way, Jesus seems to say, you've gotten your attention, and therefore you've gotten what you wanted to get. But don't expect it to be from God, because you are doing it not for God, but for the other people. What you see is what you have received. In other words, God's not going to take you seriously because you are not saying to God, I am dependent upon you. Rather, you're saying to people, I need your attention. Jesus says the way to fast, put oil on your head. Now, I would recommend olive oil. I wouldn't recommend 10W-40. That's a total different kind of oil. But often with oil, putting on the forehead is usually olive oil when there's some sort of anointing or things in different Christian and Jewish traditions. Wash your face. Don't add dirt to it. Instead, wash your face. Make it look as normal as possible. Because if the exclamation point is to say to God, I desperately need you, and I'm going to do without my food or my drink or both or something else for this time period, I'm doing it for your attention and not for the attention of everybody else around me. Doing it quietly. Do it secretly, much like prayer done in secretly, as he said earlier in the chapter. Spirituality is not something we throw out there so everybody will be impressed with us. Spirituality should be something that's very, very private, that is within our very hearts. Real spirituality will be visible to others without us having to give, to pray, or the fast to draw our attention to ourselves. No, it is shown not through what we do to give or what we do to pray or what we do to fast, but it's the impact of those things on our lives that will be seen by other people. We have a tendency to focus on the joy of knowing the Lord, and we're eager to celebrate and feast, just as a thanksgiving to God. And most fasts end up with a feast that follows. But whether we fast or find another alternative, sometimes we just need to find some way to recognize when sin has gotten the better of us. and we need that exclamation point from God. Or when we mourn the loss of a loved one, or mourn the loss of something or someone dear to us, or whether we're facing a crisis of some kind, sometimes we just need to express how seriously we are before God, and the fast is one of the ways people choose to do that. Jesus didn't go against fasting. As a matter of fact, he probably assumed people would continue fasting, but it was all about the method. Whatever we do to choose to dedicate ourselves to God, whether it's to repent for something that we have done, mourn the loss of someone, or going through a crisis of some kind. The more others know about our spiritual experience, the greater the danger we're doing it for them and not for God. But don't get me wrong, we need each other. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a congregation to raise a Christian. We must not seek to play the victim just to get people to feel sorry for us, but rather seek people's prayers and depend on God to be the one to answer those prayers. Journeys. Journeys are another means for fasting. Moses and Jesus knew that they were getting ready to enter a long period of time, and in preparation for that, they fasted. We now are on an important journey with God, and maybe we find some ways to prepare ourselves for what God is already doing in our lives, but maybe anticipating that God wants to do something more with our lives than he's currently doing. Many of us have dieted and dieted. Diet is a four-letter word for so many people. It is not something people like. It's usually never seen as positive, but fasting and dieting are two different things. The process is hard, but we do it for our health. Fasting is a way we address our spiritual health, because it's not really about food. It's not really about drink. It's not really about anything we choose to give up. Fasting is a focus on God, what we need to encourage our spiritual growth. And what we put in our spiritual life impacts what will come out of us. In other words, people will see the difference, not because they see us fasting or see us praying or see us giving, but by doing those three things, we become different people, and they will notice the difference. And all three of these things, whether it's praying, pray to God. Pray to God because you love God and want to get closer to God. Pray to God because you love others. Give. Give to God because you need to give and you want to grow closer to God. You want to serve God, but also do it because you love others. And fasting. Fasting because you feel like you want to give that exclamation point to say, I'm serious about what's going on in my life right now, and I'm willing to give up something just to show you that I'm determined to depend upon you and your answer for my prayer in my particular circumstances. But I do it because I want to get closer to you and because I love others. No, none of us like to diet. But occasionally a fast is like a spiritual diet that allows us to be able to say, you know, there's a lot of things that are very important. Whether it's for me getting up and having a cup of coffee in the morning, but what I had to do without that for a day or a few days. If something was so important to me and I wanted to show God that God is more important to me than anything that I consume, then maybe that's just what I need to do, to say, I'm not just asking for help, I'm begging for help. And I want to grow closer to you. I want you to grow closer to me, and I want me to be the me you created me to be. Instead of fasting or feasting on fasting, Let us develop a diet that includes our expression of our dedication to God so that we can grow both individually and grow as a congregation. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, I thank you for all that you do for our lives. I thank you that you have seen so many of us through so many different circumstances. We've mourned the loss of loved ones. We've gone through family crisis, church crisis, pretty much any kind of crisis you can imagine. We've gone through hurricanes. We've gone through flooding. There's all kinds of things that we've experienced. Some of us have gone through tornadoes and hurricanes. Some of us almost drowned. We think of the times in which you provided a solution when it seemed like our minds could not produce one. We pray that what we do to grow closer to you, that you help our spirits to want and desire you to the point that we're willing to give an exclamation point on occasion, just to say, I'm doing it for you and nobody else but you, because I want you to know how much I love you and how much I depend upon you and how much I count on you, providing those things that I need, because I can't generate those things for my own self. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the example of Jesus, and pray that we would be able to seek you out through our prayers, through our giving, and even through a fast. For all these things we offer in Jesus' name, amen. Each week we have a time in which we look to God and whatever God is speaking to our hearts. I invite you to come. I'll be happy to pray with you, or if you want to come pray at the altar, it's always open. Just ask and pray that you listen to whatever God is putting upon your heart as we stand and sing together.
If you'd like to use your hymnal, we can turn to hymn page 283. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forevermore to be. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forevermore to be. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Lord, I give myself to thee, consecrated more to be. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forever more to be.